this with we turn up the party. All night feels good, we can't decide it. It's this with we turn up the party. All night feels good, we can't decide it. Turn up the party, turn up the party. Hey everybody, Geeks Next Door, episode 116, June 20th, go. Who's first?
What the fuck was that?
That's our intro?
What?
Got it. That's as much as I'm getting. Really? I give as much as I'm getting, and that's what I'm getting, so I gave that much.
Whoa.
He said that we were all ready. What's going on there, buddy? Are you okay?
That's not what happened at all, actually. And I can rewind it, because it's recorded if you'd like. Here's what happened.
Pretty sure.
Ryan's like, I'm always ready. I've been seeing you for 47 minutes already, just meant to prepare it. And then Dave 2's like, I'm ready to go. And then Dave's like, if Ryan's ready, that's all that matters. So that's exactly what happened. And then Adam was like,
Adam was
duh.
And Adam's like, hey, Dave, you got to check this one out.
Yeah, and Chris said, like, guys, are you guys ready? I'm ready when you're ready. Let's do this. Yeah, see, so we all put in a little, you know, just a little bit.
No, actually, I think only two people responded to the question.
I would say, would you say we all put in just a tip?
If you were to rewind it, I said go, go, go.
Some
that
tips,
means I'm ready.
Some tips are bigger than others, though, so that's what really the main thing is.
It's true.
So what is happening this evening that is fun and exciting and enjoyable?
What is happening?
There's a shed. I want to tell you about a shed I saw. It's not really a shed, but they're actually building a structure that has a slanted roof that's approximately 16 by 20 feet in the park by my house.
So you're going to go pick it up and bring it? Bring it over?
I think it won't work, because the one thing I saw that makes it difficult to move is that the walls are all poured concrete, so that makes it quite heavy. Which is actually interesting. Like they put up these, like, they pour concrete in a frame, basically, and then they put these press-on, looks like wood shit, and it's pretty cool. I couldn't tell what they were doing, because they had it prepared for pouring concrete, so it was, like, kind of wrapped around with this. And then when they finally showed it and they put the roof on, I was like, damn, that looks kind of like Chris's shed plan. It had a slanted roof. It had same dimensions pretty much, but the walls are made of fucking concrete, so that's different. You could do that and make the walls of concrete. I suspect that would be hard and expensive.
Yes.
Yes.
Were they building a shitter?
I think it's like a kitchen concession area.
Did it have a shitter in it?
There's already a shitter there. You would know that if you would come to our Sunday picnics.
What Sunday picnics?
Picnics on Sunday? You're not invited to those? Of course you are.
Yeah, no, he is.
I think, actually, we need to get Joey invited. That will make things change.
Anyway. Shed. Ultimate shed.
So yeah, you so found a shitter cool. Shed.
I just thought it was interesting. In a small world that a similar shaped shed was being erected next to my house.
Erected.
And I didn't know it till, you know, it got far enough along where you could tell what it was.
Erected.
Hmm.
I took some pictures of it so that we can reference it if need be.
Because wood and concrete are similar building materials.
Well, the roof is similar.
So did they have a vaulted ceiling?
They did.
Oh, wow.
Kind of, actually, not really.
Kind of, well.
Kind of, not really.
That's funny.
Maybe the same, maybe different. One of those.
You could put it on
put it on the YouTubes.
On the Skype website.
It's on my phone. I don't know how to go from phone to Skype website.
You should probably unplug it from that battery you got, and it might work.
That is a gigantic battery.
I also got a new battery today. Since You're just going to tear me down while I provide content. I'm just going to provide more content. I went to the Apple Store today and got my battery replaced because my battery was garbage and instantly died, basically. It was at 71% capacity is what it said. But it was clearly bad because as soon as they plugged it in to do the diagnostics sucked too much juice and caused the thing to reset. They were like, oh, yep, that doesn't look good. So they replaced my battery, and it's seeming to behave much better now.
Don't you think instead of replacing the battery, they could have just gave you a new phone?
They actually charged me for the battery, so I had to pay $30. And normally it's like more, but since with the new iOS update, they unintentionally hosed batteries over more than they thought they would. They've given
unintentionally.
Well, I don't know about that. That's a fair point.
I think they're making $30 per new phone or per phone.
I'm willing to pay $30 to extend the life of my phone.
What if they actually came up with a plan to get the old phones out there that, you know, okay, let me rephrase that. What if they had a surplus of batteries? And they're like, I know, we need to sell these batteries. Here's how we're going to do it. Let's change the iOS and make it drain more on the battery. That way people will come in complaining. We got to charge them $30 for a new battery. Mm-hmm.
That could happen.
I see it. Okay. There's some sound logic there, Adam.
Ooh, I don't know.
Dave, is that a Mountain Dew Ice?
Why, yes it is.
I'm down to
five bottles. So
this is the Geek Store brought to you by Mountain Dew Ice.
See, there you go. That's what you should do. Mountain Dew Ice should be totally like... Adam, what's on? Yeah. What did you put over here?
Well, August 18th, the trailer, or the... new Simpsons Disenchanted is coming to Netflix. So there's a video over here of Disenchanted. It's a teaser. It looks pretty good. They got the same voiceover that did one of the characters. I can't remember which one. The mechanic guy or the... Not Scruffy, but... Like the... Yeah. But it's cool because... The animation is a little different than before. It's like almost like it's 3D. The castle in the background looks pretty badass. And it's got the spire on it that was just like Professor Farnsworth's lab / parking garage. So it looks pretty cool. I'm excited.
The tag is... Bean is a princess, and she does have a knack for getting into trouble. The core trio of the series will include Bean, her personal demon, Lucy, and Elfo, an aptly named elf adventurer. Disenchantment is set in a medieval fantasy kingdom known as Dreamland, and it's not going to be limited by the bounds of reality. So, in other words, expect to see ogres, sprites, harpies, imps, trolls, and walruses.
Ooh, goo, goo, choo. There's your first joke.
Oh, that's pretty funny, actually.
I am the walrus.
That kind of looks... I mean, I'll give it a shot.
Fuck that. I'll give it more than one shot. You know who won't give it a shot? Chris Banks, because he didn't like Futurama.
I did not like Futurama, you're correct. But it is an animated cartoon. And I normally don't like animated shit, but I am 8 episodes into this show called The Hollow on Netflix. You guys heard of that?
Yes.
Have you watched any of it at all?
No.
The boys have watched one episode.
It's basically a D&D adventure in an animated form. Like three people wake up, they don't know who they are, they don't know where they're at, and they have to solve puzzles, and they find out. And it's basically a D&D adventure. It's interesting.
It's on Netflix?
Yeah.
Yeah,
huh. That sounds cool.
I think I added it to my list.
Yeah, I mean, I don't even... It was recommended for me, and I normally, like I said, you know me, I don't like animated shows generally. I get kind of... I don't know, I don't care for them as much. Because I'm not a baby. So I figured that I would give this a shot, and it's actually pretty good.
Hmm.
It has me intrigued, because it's a bunch of puzzles, and you're like, what's going on and stuff. It's pretty good.
The animation style is a little bit more... less cartoony, if you will. Yeah. I don't know if that makes sense.
For the Hollows, or
it's like grown
up. Yeah, for the Hollows.
Yes, it's grown up animation, right? Kind of.
Yeah, maybe yeah. That's what it is. But it's I'm sure there's a word for it, but it looks cool.
Yeah, just use the word for it. Grown up animation.
Ugh.
I like it.
It's like anime, but not.
And you know what? I enjoy anime, so maybe that's. Has something to do with the cartoon stylings of certain cartoons and stuff. I don't know.
Huh.
It would be.
You like anime, but you don't like Adventure Time.
No, Adventure Time's stupid.
That is Dungeons & Dragons adult cartoon.
Not adult cartoon.
That is
it
true,
is an adult cartoon.
No way.
Yeah, like, kids wake up, and they don't know where they are, and they get into adventures and solve problems.
Yeah, it's very similar, except for it's not spelled out to them what they're doing. Like, they wake up and they don't remember their memories or their names or anything. So, this one, there's a DM who's like, you're in an adventure!
Oh, really? I never watched that, I don't think, the original D&D cartoons. I think I did, but
what?
I don't remember it.
Seriously, you need... I probably have them on DVD somewhere.
I must be the fighter, and I must be the wizard.
Is that what happens in the
that in the?
Yeah, that's what happens.
Okay.
Didn't they have like one that was like an oddball too? Like
there's a monk, and there's a the wizard is all like, oh no, I've got like this bag of hat, my hat. Every once in a while, like something could come out of it, but it might not be useful, but it might be super useful.
Presto.
Yeah. But, yeah, it's pretty good, Ryan. You think? But there is a movie coming out called The House with the Clock in Its Walls. It's basically like a book that came out. It's kind of like Harry Potter, but it was like a book that came out 20 years before Harry Potter. Basically, a kid goes and lives with his uncle, crazy uncle, and his uncle turns to be like a warlock. And like they got to stop some evil guy from coming back and stuff like that. And it looks like... They took all of Ryan's dreams from his dream journal and made it into a book. It's all like a nerdy guy and a nerdy kid, and Jack Black is his uncle, and they have a good time, and it's funny, and they got to stop an evil wizard, and he learns magic spells.
Sounds good.
Yeah, Jack Black's like, I can teach you all this stuff, but that 1%, you need to do on your own. You have the will to do it. It's like, oh, that's like Ryan. He's 40% sweat and something percent pain.
It's true. What's the name of the show?
20% power. It's called The House with the Clock in Its Walls. I put a link to the trailer in it.
Interesting.
It's fun to see Jack Black, too. He doesn't do many films these days.
He's making a renaissance by doing Jumanji in this movie and Jumanji 2.
I know. I'm also kidding, because I think I said that last time.
It's like... true. It's like he's still there.
But I do like Jack Black. He's fun.
Ever since Tropic Thunder, he's been a little more selective on it.
What, Tropic Thunder? Just killer. Was that not well received? Tropic Thunder was a good show.
Not that well received. But I enjoyed it. I thought it was fun.
Did it come out like 30 years ago?
Tropic Thunder?
I think like 6.
That's the only movie.
I bet it's like 10 years at least. That feels like a 10-year-old movie.
Yeah, Chris is like a time...
I never said I'm good at predicting those, because I always seem to be bad or off.
2008.
10 years ago, exactly. 10
years, see?
10 years or 30 years ago.
10 years ago, that movie is okay. But, like, today that movie's not okay.
Well,
what?
Wait. What does that mean?
It means that people are fucking idiots, and if they watch that movie today, they'll be like, oh my god, this is so bad for this reason, blah, blah, blah. I'm not going to receive it well.
Also,
oh, yeah.
Yes.
That's the only movie I know of
that
it's acceptable to do blackface in.
We were talking about that with Idiocracy, weren't we?
It still has an 82% score on Rotten Tomatoes.
Oh, it did fine. It made double its money, so it did fine.
Yeah. Were we talking about that when I mentioned a coworker of mine had never seen Idiocracy and I wanted to give up? And I was thinking, maybe that won't be received well when they're like saying stuff that today would be very, very offensive. It actually was intended to be offensive then, but I don't think it was as like. Even like old school has got some shit that like. that fucking movie's funny.
So that movie came out in 2006. I think it's a very, very good classic movie. Like, excellent. What did it make at the box office if you do not know? Give me an estimate. What do you think?
What's that?
Idiocracy?
Yeah.
Oh.
35 million.
$5 million.
Oh, I was saying 10. But it had to have been somewhere between 5 and 10.
It made $444,000.
Whoa.
That sounds awful.
It had to have been like extremely limited release. Because I don't even remember it in the theaters.
Is it got a cult following at all? Or like it just feels so much better than it. Like you can't find it. It's not talked about. But yet it's super funny. I don't know. It feels like one of those movies that could gain a cult following. Or if it hasn't already, it probably won't, but it could have.
Maybe?
Yeah. I don't know.
It only opened in 130 theaters. That's like nothing.
Yeah, that is nothing.
3,000 is about normal. So that makes sense, actually. Yeah, I think it does. I think that the people who have seen it, they really appreciate it. Either that or they hate it because they think it's terrible.
I gotta bring it to the guy and let him watch that. It's pretty funny. I should take a note to myself.
Yeah.
There's quite a few articles out there from 2016 talking about how it went from like an afterthought movie to a cult favorite.
Good. It deserves it.
Well, everybody's calling it a cult classic.
12 years later, it's good we're talking about it.
Ryan, pull your mic away from your face. There you go.
That way Adam doesn't have to hear you talk anymore.
No, every time he talks, it's like, I'm hearing thunder.
Really? I'm not.
I wasn't either.
So let's talk World Cup real quick. The round of 16 is upon us. Any matches in there that you guys think seem interesting, or which ones in there seem like, hey, that one seems pretty cool?
The Brazil Mexico game, I think, looks pretty interesting.
That's got potential, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
France Argentina. What else?
Colombia England looks pretty fun. I think
could be fun.
Yeah.
Maybe the Croatia Denmark.
Sorry.
I said maybe.
That's pretty funny. I also want Japan to do well now.
Yeah, they got a hard road to do. Like, if they beat Belgium, who's really good, then they got to beat either Brazil or Mexico, who's also really good. Then they got to beat probably France, who's also really good. No, I'm just kidding. It could be
probably France
or Portugal. They got a hard roll, basically. Is what.
Fun to see if they step it up. If they step it up, we could have some fireworks here. And it'd be pretty, yeah, damn right.
What if they step it up to the streets?
Ooh, that's even better. I like dance battles, and that'd be pretty sweet. It sounds like a dance battle.
Yep, or they could step it up 3D. Just saying.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay, so which teams are you disappointed that did not make it?
I'm not disappointed any teams not making it.
Other than Germany, Dave.
That was funny. Because they shit the bed, dude. Like they hardcore.
Really?
You come in like rank so highly and then just struggle at every turn.
Well, and then Mexico did pretty good, so which was, I think, a little unexpected. But meh.
And you lose to your arch rivals?
Japan? South Koreans?
Oh, South Korea.
Yeah. I did like South Korea or Mexican storm South Korean embassy chanting, South Koreans, brothers, you are today, you are Mexicans.
Right. they forced the ambassador to do shots.
Like, did you see that? That was
yeah. They did shots of mezcal.
Yeah. It's like, you come out.
And what's cool is that he did it and like actually like was a really good sport about it actually.
That's awesome.
It was pretty cool.
Well, maybe they'll carry that momentum forward. Here,
I'll send a link with that in case you haven't seen it. And the second video in this link is the Japanese ambassador in Mexico. As the fans are chanting "chug, chug, chug" or something, and then he's digging it, tequila.
Oh,
it's
fucking wow! Tight.
It's cool. That's cool about how international matches sort of have a certain. I don't know. There's something cool about when that brings people together. There's certainly conflict, but it's cool how like that kind of randomly brings people together.
That's awesome.
I did want to ask you, Ryan, especially because he is soccer man, but the rest of you can weigh in as well. What do you think about the whole FIFA fair play points as a tiebreaker?
Oh, I think that's interesting. I don't know about it. Tell me more. I actually don't know anything about this.
So in the group stage, if the points are tied and the goal differential is tied and there was a draw when in the head-to-head, then it goes to FIFA fair play points. In other words, whichever team has the least amount of yellow and red cards throughout the tournament.
Really?
Advances or goes ahead of them. And it came into play today with, was it England? Who it was today. I think it was England and whoever was in their bracket with them. Who was it? For some reason, I can't think.
England, Belgium.
I think it was England, Belgium. England finished first because of FIFA fair play points. And the same thing happened with Senegal and... was it the same thing that happened with Senegal, Colombia?
Yeah, it says Senegal. This link says Colombia and Japan qualified for last 16 as Senegal crashes out of World Cup on fair play.
Yep, fair rule. Which is that's actually not just like first and second. That was you are no longer in the tournament based on the number of cards you got throughout the tournament.
So did they get too many red cards and were eliminated because of it, or they got too many red cards and the yellow cards? So as a tiebreaker, they were eliminated.
They got more cards than the other team.
Oh, okay.
Like 4-3 or something like that.
Is it throughout the whole tournament, then?
Yep, throughout the whole group stages there. I'd never heard of it. I don't know if it's the first time they used it, but it's seemed kind of, and I guess not arbitrary, but I almost feel like they should have like a shootout or something instead. You know?
Well, I always thought it was based on how many goals were scored and scored against you.
No, that's
goal differential. That's
what starts first. Chris is saying when that's tied and all that stuff.
Yeah, it's points, goal differential, head to head matchup, and then FIFA fair points. So,
because Germany was tied with I don't know which one for a while. They were tied with. Not South Korea and Belgium, but the third or whatever.
Yeah, I feel like I think it's not amazing. Like I don't love it, but I don't hate it. The problem with it that I see people could get upset about is that sometimes you get different referees with different temperaments.
Yes.
So there are referees that are good, and there would be more consistent about giving more cards, but they're good. They're like fine. I'm not saying they're bad referee, but then there's different styles of referee that are a little more unwilling to give cards, except for a more severe thing. So there's just like this level of judgment call where you can be more apt to give yellow cards, more apt to not. And so if you get unlucky and you get someone who's pretty loose with the cards, then you could end up losing to a tiebreaker. But that said, I feel like you also have a chance to make it through by scoring more goals and winning your games.
Well, of course. Right. Yeah.
So like, and if you happen to be a team that did get a lot of cards and you got them for reasons that were deserved, you know what I mean, then it's not bad to discourage people from
unsportsmanlike
chippy unsportsman crappy shit. So I don't know, I think it's not terrible
in that regard. I'm with you, but we've all seen yellow cards that are like, are you sure that's a yellow card, come on. And in that case you might be like, god damn, we lost the tournament not because, but in part because we got that yellow card that shouldn't have been a yellow card.
Yeah, I told you about my soccer game, right?
Where you got like 37 red cards and you got kicked out for the whole season. Right. Yeah, that's actually kind of what I was getting at. Like, what if that guy was your referee for a tournament and you guys tied and everything, and then all of a sudden you have like 12, negative 12 FIFA fair
points. Right, yeah, that would have been bullshit. we could have said, we should have scored more goals and won games, but yeah.
Sure.
Yeah, my soccer team had a referee. Well, my soccer team and the opposing soccer team both had the same referee, who was equally and consistently terrible for both, and gave red and yellow cards out, like, basically constantly and randomly. So there was like 6 or 7 yellow cards and 3 red cards in the game, and it was just like a ridiculous, bizarre shit show.
And it's a casual league, too, right?
It's a casual league, and that can happen. Like, you can have heated games where it gets out of control, but this was like a normal game, and everybody was kind of like, going like, what the fuck's wrong with this guy? Is he out of his goddamn mind? So, yeah.
That's really weird. Like somebody bringing their work home with them, or their home to work type of thing, situation. Yeah.
Speaking of bringing your work home, is anybody here tested at their work for drug use?
Yes.
No. I was when I got hired. I had to take a drug test, but not since then.
Right, but is it expected that you will throughout the rest of your career, or is it just Adam?
No.
Yes.
Yeah.
Now, explain to me what this means, because basically they don't want Adam to do drugs on his own time. That's what a test would show, right? But why the fuck do they care what he does on his own time?
Because they don't want you to potentially put other people in danger
on your own time.
Because
nobody, let's say you do pot, right? You do the pot. Yeah. You get high. You're gonna test for that long after it's so-called not affecting you any further.
Correct.
So if you want to go home and unwind and do some pot, you're like, cool, that's cool, but I'm going to be fine for work. I'm going to kill it at work, go home, unwind, do some pot, go kill it at work, but you test negative because they don't want you to be happy in your home life? Or is there another thinking that I'm missing somewhere along the way?
In this situation, it's... So if, let's say I traveled to Colorado and partook in this and then came back, it's a federal law that says I'm not allowed to use illegal substances, and that is considered a federal illegal substance, not a local.
Now, my point being, I understand there's a law and a rule for that, but my point is, why is there a law that they don't let you to do something on your own time that doesn't affect your work at all? Why is that a law? And it's cool if you're cool with it, but I could see myself being a dick and being like, fuck you. If I don't do drugs, but I wish I did, just to say, fuck you, it's my own time.
That I don't know.
I'm just wondering if there's the chance that that own time use will somehow creep into, you know,
work
into somehow. Your work time, then that could then cause, you know, problems. You know, for Adam, maybe it's like it's still in the system. He's still high. He shows up. He drives. He crashes. Causes a huge crash. Someone dies. Now they're getting sued.
Sure, you know? But if let's say he did the Mary Jane. He's all on. He's a high reefer addict, right? That if happens to get into, or if he happens to go to work a little bit high, has nothing compared to if he went to work drunk, which they don't test for.
that gets completely different. It's all
But I actually think that's a perfect explanation, though, is that if they could test for alcohol, then they probably would, and it would be reasonable to say that people that drink alcohol are more likely to have drinking alcohol that's in their system while they're driving or working than people that never drink alcohol. just like people that smoke weed are more likely to have weed in their system when they're driving than people that never smoke weed.
Sure.
And since it's illegal to smoke weed, it's therefore okay for the company to check if you smoke weed. But if they could, and if they were like evil or something, and they could somehow determine if you drank a lot of alcohol, they probably would want to do the same thing, because what they're really doing is trying to select people that are the least likely to have some problem with, you know, influence of drugs while they're on the job.
So your point is that it has nothing to do with the fact that they might come to work like that, but they're, if you can identify people that might come to work like that, then you should get rid of them.
Well, no, I'm saying it has everything to do with it. They might come to work with that. There's no way to know. Like, how do you know? Like,
yeah, there is. You know if somebody's high. If somebody walks up to you and they're high, you're going to know it.
Well, what if you miss it once? What if they go straight in and they, like, have their hat on low and they're like, all right, off to drive.
Okay, hang on a second. You know? Sorry, we're getting out of the... My point being, if they test you, like, no matter what, if you test within, like, 20 days or something, you're going to test positive, right? Even if you never did it at work. So mm-hmm. My point being that they want to say, in your own time, we control what you do to your body, because you might come here and do that.
It's similar. I wouldn't say similar, but you could say the same thing for not getting enough sleep, because if I were to stay up and only get an hour's worth of sleep and then go into work and drive, I have just the same, well, it's just as likely that I'm gonna get in an accident as if I were drinking.
Sure, but yeah, I think what Ryan would say is that not giving enough sleep isn't illegal.
Well, no, but they don't test for that either.
They don't have a way to test for that. And if they did have a way to test for it, it would probably be illegal, because it's, you know, not, it's probably illegal to discriminate people on how much sleep they get. You know what I mean? Like, versus like drugs being illegal, it's okay to check to see if people... It's like doing a criminal background check. You can do that. It's not against the law. You can do it. And then you can imply that people that don't have criminal backgrounds are less likely to do criminal things on the job.
Sure.
It's kind of an extension of that. So what that's why companies can do it. But what they really want to do is they want to know, do you not sleep enough? Do you drink too much? Do you smoke weed? And they actually only care if you smoke weed on the job, but there's no test to say how likely you are to smoke weed on the job. There's only a test to say, do you smoke weed or not? Right. So they do the best thing they can, which is to say, let's just avoid people that smoke weed altogether. You know, and that way they can't smoke on the job because they don't smoke weed. So that's cool.
Sure. I understand that argument. Easy. I think it's a bullshit. I think it's a bullshit policy, and to say
it is.
To say you're going to determine what I can do in my own free time as a grown adult, what I want to put in my own body, even if it has no impact whatsoever on my work.
Well, but if it's illegal,
what if it's not? What if you're on medicinal marijuana?
Then I think it would immediately become. I bet you there's an allowance for people that have medical marijuana for all of the cases where you might be disallowed a job because of.
Do they have UPS in Colorado? Because everybody in Colorado has medicinal marijuana. Same thing with California.
And they might not do drug. They probably don't do drug tests there.
It's a DOT. It's a federal. It's a federal law, not a state law.
Oh, that's true. That's a good point. So it's illegal everywhere, essentially.
Even I thought it was weird because, like, we accept it in the military because that's kind of like a part of your life. Like, even when you're off work, you're still on work. Like, you're you're in the military. You have to accept it. But I thought it was weird hearing that, like, drug tests for people on your own time, basically. I don't know, this time was strange.
I'm not saying it's necessarily
fair
or right. I'm just saying, like, I can see why companies who are allowed to do it choose to do it, you know what I mean?
I do, but they probably never test for, like, alcohol, and they have ways of doing that. They could test.
That's because I don't think they're allowed to.
Why not?
Because it's not illegal to be drinking alcohol.
But it's illegal to be over the limit and driving.
Well, I guess if they had reason to believe you were drunk on your interview or something,
No. Let's say you come into work and you are obviously intoxicated.
Oh, I've done that.
That's clearly, yeah. My point is pre-hiring.
Oh, I'm not talking about pre-hiring. Like, this is an ongoing thing. You have to keep getting tested. Like, how often do you get tested, Adam? Like, once a day?
I'm just probably, kidding. Probably once a day. No, it's maybe once a year.
Sure.
Sometimes it's random.
Yeah, it's random. That's the main thing, is it's random. They try to make it so that it's random, so you can never do it no matter what.
Yeah, so they actually can do that. Like, you just, you know, I just Google and there's stuff about alcohol screening keeps staff and companies safe. So, right. Like, I think that, for example, like, you could do that. You could test on the job type random test for alcohol. You know, that seems like it's likely legal because you're not allowed to be drinking on the job. It's against company policy. You could set the plan forth. So they probably do that. Some companies probably do that.
Oh, I'm sure some companies do. Sure. I'm sure some companies say you have to do this and you have to. But what, like, especially for Adam, who's a driver, would it be a stretch for them to say you need to show document that you get 8 hours of sleep every night? Because if not, you're an impaired driver.
Exactly. How do you document that?
Well, let's say there's a way we can, by monitoring your bios and stuff. Would people accept that as a test, because otherwise you're impaired and you have a higher likelihood of getting into an accident?
Well, I'm in trouble because I don't get 8 hours.
Right. But then it would be the fault, would then the company be liable, like, during the holiday season because they don't give you enough time?
That's a good point.
To get 8 hours sleep?
Right. Sure. Actually, they do. You can only work for us, there's rules where you can't work more than 14 hours a day.
Okay.
So you have 10 hours off.
Okay. Yep, you have 10 hours off, but you live 1 hour and 10 minutes away from work.
That doesn't matter. You can sleep on the way home.
Correct.
No, you can't sleep on the way home.
It's irrelevant.
In your Uber. Okay, so let's move on to if they could test if you had a dinosaur in your house, how would that test take place?
How big is this dinosaur?
No, I wanted to know about Jurassic Park. What'd you guys think of Jurassic Park? We went and saw it. It was a movie. We went and saw it. There was dinosaurs. And tell me your thoughts and your feelings and stuff. But don't spoil it for Adam.
Did the dinosaurs chase him off the island again?
No.
Because I'm pretty sure that's happened 4 other times.
I mean, there were some holes, but I thought it was just a good fun ride. I enjoyed it.
I don't know what holes there were. I don't think there are any holes, plot holes whatsoever in this.
Was there plot holes big enough to drive
a T-Rex?
Yes. But you don't worry about what the plot holes were.
Yeah,
That's not important. Yeah.
No, I didn't worry about it. I thought it was a really fun ride. I thought I enjoyed it. I had fun.
Okay. What about you, guys?
I thought that Chris Pratt, he's just a fun guy to be around, he seems like. It's like he just gets in adventures. I thought bad guys do bad guy things, but they do them in a dumb bad guy way a lot of times. They do the classic dumb bad guy things, where it's just like, it just feels, why did you do it the dumbest way possible? It's just...
Yeah, and when it's happening to a bad guy, you're like, yeah, he's going to get his comeuppance because he's dumb and bad.
Yeah, right, because he's dumb and bad. You did this dumb thing. You did this really bad thing, but then you cut that corner. If he would have just went a little further with that and made it, he would have been fine. Overall, I liked it. I thought they did good references to her wearing shoes that were... proper for the environment in which she was.
Amy pointed out that the first time they show her in the elevator, she had high heels on.
Yes, because she wasn't on an adventure.
Sandola showed the very, very distinct juxtaposition between her being on an adventure and being at work.
Yes, she was like, I am at work right now, in a work environment, I'm wearing work shoes. But then, were they making a point, you think? They were definitely making a visual point. Of you do not pan from someone's shoes up to them unless you want to show what they are wearing.
Yeah.
So.
What do you think, Ryan?
I thought it was a fun movie. I initially was a little like lukewarm on it, you know. I feel like only because even though all the other ones were kind of the same, there is still something cool about the sort of theme park thing where you have this majestic introduction of dinosaurs and like they play the freaking like this is amazing music in the background as they show the first shot of this new super dinosaur, and like that's always kind of cool and like fun, and they didn't really have that aspect so much, so I don't know, I missed that a little bit. It made it feel less like a Jurassic Park movie and more like a normal movie with dinosaurs in it, if that makes sense. Like, it's not bad to be a normal movie.
Like a Jurassic World movie?
Well, Jurassic World almost seems like a new genre. Like, this is a transition movie where it could turn into, like...
I think the last one was a transition movie. It was, like, basically, now we're Jurassic World. Basically, the world has got dinosaurs because... those guys grab dinosaurs and are like, we want these things. These things will be great for so many applications. And you're like, ooh, that could go a lot of places.
Sure. Well, from the perspective of, like, storyline and plot, they made a transition there. But from the feel of the movie, I feel this movie jumped into a traditional random adventure movie with bad guys and intrigue and that kind of shit. And then... it does open the door for like the Planet of the Apes type style Jurassic World movie, which would be pretty freaking cool if the next ones were kind of like that, you know. Especially if there was apes. If the apes joined them. Like, the apes were like, these dinosaurs ain't half bad.
No, like, there's got to be humans. A scene. There's got to be a scene where the dinosaur's like, no. And you're like, oh, shit. The dinosaurs can talk. Because... on the way home, I thought about it was basically like Jurassic World is kind of like a bigger budget version. Like, it was like Force Awakens. Kind of like a, you know, a mirroring retelling of A New Hope. You know, kind of, you know, a big park, something goes wrong, you know, shit happens, blah, blah, blah. Jurassic Park, same thing. This one did the Last Jedi thing where it's like, it took the ideas from the last one and went in a crazy different direction. And people were like, I don't know, that Last Jedi.
I don't like that.
But
I think I'm going to have to get some money and remake it.
That shit's fucking ridiculous. It's like, okay, buddy, you got $200 million laying around. Feel free to remake a movie that you don't have the rights to. Yeah, but I thought it was fun. I thought the characters were, like, the characters were well-realized. Villain was villainy. He was completely black. He was a black hat villain. He was just doing it to be a villain.
Well, that's the thing, is when I was thinking I felt a little lukewarm about it, but when I thought back about thought about it more, in remembering it, it remembered well, if that makes sense. Like the scenes of remembering, like, that, like, little, the auctioneer evil dude.
Yeah.
That whole, like, scene was cool to me. It was kind of a cool little twist in there. So there's some parts of it, like, it was actually a lot of fun. And it just was so different that it felt like a different kind of movie, but that's okay.
Okay. Yeah, I know I'm in the minority, but I didn't enjoy it especially. Like, I don't like watching dinosaurs suffer. I'm sorry, I don't. And that took me out of a whole thing. We're like, okay, so most of the dinosaurs are dead now. That makes me sad. Oh, and what are we going to do? We're going to have a 30-second panning shot of the last fucking Triceratops, not Triceratops, but Brontosaurus dying. Yeah, that's fun. Thanks, movie. I really appreciate this. And I don't know why that is. It's just me. My mental state is not strong enough to be like, I want to watch animals die over and over and over again. So that was kind of rough for me. Also, the other movies are about, like, dinosaur fighting humans. This movie was mostly about humans fighting humans. With the exception of one very angry dinosaur at the end.
Yeah, did it have a cybernetic implant?
Maybe.
Not yet.
It had a big beefy arm.
And I'm with you on that. The whole plot was not a dinosaur movie.
No,
it was like that.
It wasn't.
Like, they could have been like exotic birds or something. And the whole story probably could have been told the same way.
Yeah.
But like they could have been non-extinct. Not generated from, so suck it. You know, they even could have been like fucking artifacts, like non-living things, and most of it still would have worked. You know what I mean?
Yeah, the end one would be a golem. Look at this golem. It's amazing. Yeah. Oh my god, it's out!
Well, that would be a weapon that someone would grab, and that weapon would be like kind of evil, and so the person who grabbed it would be kind of go crazy and stuff. Right. But that weapon would have been assembled by the mad scientist guy who had studied it but was wanted power too much, who's the same as the other guy. You know what I'm talking about. Klinger's on top of this shit.
You
this
fucking should write it.
I was thinking about your exotic birds. I was like, welcome to Dodo World. We have created a bunch of dodos that fell into oil, and we created them. And this is a really big dodo, and this is a gigantic sloth. That was extinct at one time. Remember those? Giant He's like sloth. 12 feet tall, but we made a really fast sloth. So its name is kind of an oxymoron now.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. It just, at the beginning, took me out of it for a while. I was like, I'm sad. I don't want to be sad at this movie. And yes, I know it's a movie, but fucking, what do you want from me? But I think you're right, Red. I didn't have any majesty. There was no majesty in this movie. There was no Jurassic Park majesty. It wasn't like...
That's the right word,
it wasn't like the scene, the classic scene. Welcome to Jurassic Park. And then... Doo-doo-doo-doo-doo. You see dinosaurs, and you're like, this is a fucking majestic moment right here. There was none of that. It was really kind of sad.
Oh yeah, my wife called and she's like, she wants to hang out. You could be sad about CG animals,
and we would be completely on it. But you know what else? You know what I noticed? It's when the animals like can do nothing about it, and it would be the same. It'd be worse if it was humans. Don't get me wrong. Like if I was watching humans get killed on an island, I'd be fucking angry and sad as well. But at least humans could try to swim. The dinosaurs are just like, we're too heavy to swim. Now we all drown. And like, I get to watch this.
He's got like a long neck. Uh-huh. He could just like walk out into the water. He's like 70 feet tall.
Yeah.
He walks out a little ways and goes like, that's not that bad.
Two more points. They're easy points. The first one is, I'm really sick of bad guys being obvious bad guys doing obvious bad guy things. Like, I'm here to help you. Let's go help each other. Like, okay, you're obviously a bad guy. Like, just, I don't know, do some better writing or something. Figure out a better way. But what I did like was, like, his granddaughter. I liked that. That was kind of an interesting, like, what a twist. And you could see it coming, you could not see it coming, but I liked that they actually tried to reach a little bit and put ramifications for future movies in as well. So, I like that part.
Yeah.
The M. Night Shyamalan Ding Ding portion of the movie.
Yeah. I mean, I liked it, but I also feel like that is an example, or that emphasized the fact it was a different kind of movie.
Yes, definitely.
Like, the fact that that was allowed to be part of the plot meant it was just so different. So different. Which is fine, again, but, you know.
Yeah. Different. Okay, cool. Any other Jurassic? How'd it do? I didn't see the box office numbers. Did it do okay?
Like 150 or something like that. It did good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Jeff Goldblum. I thought Jeff Goldblum's scenes were really good.
He was in it for like two scenes.
I know, but his scene where he's basically, they filmed it in like one day, and he's basically like, man, you think the guys who were making nukes thought within 10 years, like the crazy proliferation that would happen to like the nuclear weapons? It's like, no. Do you think the guys who were making dinosaurs when they first thought of this were like, oh shit, someone, we're going to weaponize these goddamn dinosaurs? No, they were never thinking about that, but those are the consequences that happen when you create a new technology.
Mm. Yeah, that dude's fire sale seemed really low too, by the way. Like, Floyd Mayweather just showed he got like an $18 million watch. I was like, god damn, that's like almost two dinosaurs for that. Like, that seemed really low.
Right.
They like, were selling those.
It would be cool if it was like, here's what we made. We're going to sell off this tiny vial of its blood for that much. Like, we're not going to give you the cloning technology.
Semen.
They're all ladies.
Life Eggs. Finds a way.
Remember? They're all Eggs. Ladies.
Life finds a way.
Yeah, I just searched that and found the link. Jurassic World 2 auction prices are the most unrealistic part of Jurassic World 2.
Really?
Yeah. It's like, but I do agree. It almost feels like, remember that stupid movie a long time ago where the guy was like, Dr. Evil was saying like, threatening the Earth with his death ray for $1 million, and everybody was like, $1 million? I mean, $1 billion. Like, it felt like they forgot to do that. You know, they forgot to add a zero on all those things.
That's true.
yeah, when there's a movie that involves like exorbitant prices, just take your numbers and multiply it by 5, and it'll be fine. Yeah. You're like, oh, 24 million? You're like, oh, shit, 120 million for this? Hey, you feel, that still feels fine within the realm of reasonancy.
Especially since, like, once you sell, once it's gone, like, you're done. You have no more, like, they have the technology now. You just, you can do nothing. What are you going to do? Make Indoraptors all day long or something?
Like, if they would just, if they redo it, they could probably easily add a zero to everything.
Yeah.
And, like, and it would be perfect. Like, 120 million? Yep. 12 million? No. No.
Like, what's LeBron expected to get? $210 million for his next contract? He can buy, like, every single dinosaur out there.
Yeah, like, one NBA player would be like, I'm a big fan of dinosaurs.
See, I would have had respect then, for that movie if there's an NBA guy in the back going, yes, I'd like to buy more dinosaurs.
We'd be like, yeah, damn, I love that. Yeah, dinosaurs are fun.
Dinosaurs.
Cool. Cool. What else are we talking about here? What's all this stuff up here?
So much stuff.
I don't know. I see shit on the side. What is it all?
Shit on the side. Jeez.
So, back to the world of TV.
Ooh, your TV.
Showtime has pulled the trigger on a 10-episode live-action Halo TV series.
Oh.
Based on the video game Halo.
I feel like they're 10 years too late. I mean,
well, they've been trying for over a decade.
But Halo was big 10 years ago, right?
I think they're trying to capture on the magic of kind of what happened at E3 this year with Microsoft. They're coming out with another Halo game. They said they've learned their lessons from the last one, and this one will be better. So, you know, maybe they're hoping to try to capture that magic of when the game gets released this fall, they can kind of, you know, try to tie it in or something. But,
Okay.
I saw that announcement today.
I mean, you know what? I guess if you were a kid playing this game growing up, you're now in the demographic to spend money and go watch it or see it, I guess. So,
man. I guess. Well, and, I mean, there's still competitive Halo play. People are still...
Yeah, there's like 7 people. I know. I saw it.
Yeah.
But they're all good. Like, all 7 of them. That's why
all 7 are very good, yeah.
The other big announcement that came out today was DC formally announced their streaming service called DC Universe.
No shit, really?
Yep. So this,
I hate it.
So this will be their new streaming service that'll hold showcase all their new original TV series like Titans, Swamp Thing, the new Young Justice Adam that's coming out. It's all going to be housed here. They are going to have access to classic television shows that were DC. Movies like the original 4 Superman movies are going to be on there. In addition to their comics. So it's going to be one big whole platform for everything.
It's kind of weird that we're witnessing this like changeover. And in like 20 years, it'll be all packages from different places. Because how long before their contract with the CW runs out and they're like, Berlanti Universe is now going on to our shit because why would we not do that?
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It will be about the access. Where's the advertising going to come in? Do we... You know, if we want to make it free for people, we're going to have to advertise. If not, you know, where can we control that?
Wait, is this going to be free?
They did not come out with a price. I did not see one.
Because if it's free, I'm on board. I'll watch your shows for free. I'll watch your fucking commercials for free. But if you're going to charge me $10 a month like every other service and put commercials in unless I put $15 in a month...
fucking expensive. Yep.
Then
that's why I hate it.
It's going to be annoying. But this is going to be everything eventually. And I think
Everybody's going this route. Disney's going this route.
That doesn't make it right. It makes it worse, if you ask me. But
I know. I agree.
You know what it's going to do is it's going to make a hole for people to illegally get this shit easier. Like, torrents are going to, like, shoot up. A different torrent. It's going to be, like, R. Thomas Torrent or something. Some sort of program where you just type it in on your TiVo and it automatically searches the whole thing and downloads it for free. Because I don't want to pay for all this shit if I don't have to.
And those exist already, but I agree. I'll push people that way because it's not You can't maintain that shit. You can't maintain 12 for streaming services
for $10 a month. Yeah.
Yeah. Right. And it's dumb. It's really annoying, actually. I mean, I see why people do it. This is interesting. This is where you sometimes have to remember that these are all run by companies that try to make money. And it's so some ways that forgives it, but it's just super annoying because to the end customer, what ends up happening is that it's hard to get content. And what you'd like to be able to do is like eliminate the middleman more and be able to pay for content more easily. You know, build your own stream by paying for the shows you want, and people can offer for you know what I mean, like.
Yeah, I do. How long? You know, there might be a hole also for someone to be like, we're called Youth Generation, and what we do is we take these 5 streaming services and give it to you for $20 a month.
Yep.
Because these guys are having trouble getting subscriptions, so we're Youth Generation. We take all the ones that we think youth are going to do, and then but then it's just kind of like a TV channel again.
Right. That's what I'm saying.
We're going to circle back.
It's going to go keep round. It's all like, all right, Youth Generation. Comcast just brought Youth Generation. You can only buy it when you get the Comcast package. You're like, oh shit, I should get the Comcast package because I want to get this, and it keeps going around.
How much is the Comcast package? $480 a month.
Well, if I bought them separate, it would be $481.
Wait, do I get a free landline? Because as long as I get a free landline with it.
Yeah. The triple play.
The triple play. Who the fuck uses a phone at home, you stupid bastards? And why is it cheaper if you give me a phone? So stupid.
Right.
All right. Well, yeah, I mean, it's cool because some of these shows look interesting. Like, I mean, what'd you say? I would watch
League.
Let's look Young down. Look at, I'd watch Titans. I'd watch that shit.
Titans looks good. Justice.
I'd give Swamp Thing a shot. That'd be interesting.
The Harley Quinn. That sounds cool.
Okay, but I'm not gonna pay for this. Hey, speaking of TV and shit, do you know what this Legion M thing is or whatever? The Legion M project. Mickey was asking about it last night. Basically, they're trying to make financed and controlled TV and movies. It's interesting.
Are these the people that are trying to redo Star Wars?
I don't fucking know. All I know is it's...
Marathon.
Let's see here. It says, we're the first media company in history designed to be owned by fans, and you're supposed to apparently eventually be able to vote on projects. Like people, they'll be like, hey, we got these 5 potential projects. Which one do you guys want to see? And we'll make like 2 of them or something.
People already do that with David Tennant.
Oh, it's backed by a lot of people. I saw, what's his name? Fatty Smith had something on here at one point, too.
Stan Lee.
Yeah.
Fatty Smith.
So, and it's got apparently like $3 million in funding already or something like that. So, I don't know. I just never heard about it until he was talking about it.
So, how's it work?
No
you
idea.
You give money, and then they make a show, and then you, like, get a link to it? Or, I mean, I guess, what's the... sell it?
Well, we'd have to look into member services because I don't know what the member benefits. Facebook group, photo mosaic. I hate that. Does nothing for me so far. I haven't heard. I haven't looked into it enough. I was just curious if any of you have heard about it because I was asked about it last night.
Sorry, Mickey.
It sounds like a thing. Like it sounds like crowdfunding. Kind of mainstream movies, which hasn't really happened yet, right?
Yeah, it's kind of cool. I like it.
Like, I think Super Troopers 2 was kind of one of the... I don't want to say the first, but that was 100% crowdfunded.
Right,
but imagine if the guys who had Super Troopers held on to Super Troopers. That was theirs still.
Yeah.
Because it's not. It's Super Troopers is owned by whatever.
The first one.
So, yeah, so it says... Like in the question section of one of the pages, it says, can I make money from this? And the answer is, that's the whole point. This is a completely different than traditional crowdfunding. You get a Kickstarter and others where you donate in exchange for a reward, perk, or blah, blah, blah. When you invest in Legion M, you are buying stock in the company. Our job is to make the stock go up. So it seems like, I wonder if you think about it as each movie being a small company and you have a chance as an individual to be involved in their IPO and you can buy their stock and it may go up, and that depends on how well it does. In which case, if that's what it is, which it kind of sounds like it is,
but it seems like not just per
thing. It seems like you're buying in the whole.
So right. It's like a traditional model of open shares that you buy, but they're wrapping it into it's not traditional. Like this thing of, no, it's crowdfunding, it's not traditional at all, but you can just go buy shares.
Yeah, that part's weird. Like, the way I described it is way cooler. Like, if you could basically pick movies to invest in, and if they did good, you know, you make money. If they did poorly, you still might see a movie that you wouldn't come out. And then you get a share of the success of the individual movie.
Yeah, that'd be cool. I don't think that's what they're going for, though, but yeah, no, that'd be cool.
It's the whole kit and caboodle type thing. You know, just reading more, you get to help decide, like Ryan was saying, you get to help decide projects, you know, should we invest in, like, Nicolas Cage's movie this fall called Mandy? Right, they talked about how that's how they invested on it. But you get stuff, you know, you get to shareholder-only meetings that you hang out with cast and crew, or live stream tours of sets, or stuff like that.
It's probably like if you own 1% of the stock.
Yeah.
Or they'll hold a raffle if you happen to have enough. I don't know. It seemed interesting. Like if you're an investor, and you're like, I want to invest in something I like, maybe I'll give this a look at this or something.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like we're tired of big Hollywood run by these corporate investors. We want to get back to the fans. We want to be fan-owned, fan-directed.
Okay.
Yeah, that is. It is weird. I wonder if it's like if they can more easily accept money when they're not they're not really stocks. Because there's a button here that says invest, and it says min 100, and you
100 what?
$100.
Pesos.
Min $100. But like, is there some reason that's more efficient than like just being a company that has shares?
Well, if you were if you're gonna buy stocks, you could just buy direct. Usually, it's hard to buy stocks direct. You have to go through a stockbroker or microtransactions, and they take a fee. So I can see that. But you're right. It is. I don't know.
Yeah, and I guess you got to be listed on the exchanges, and there's like not anybody can just be a stock. So there's like overhead.
Stock coming out next month. Look for
it. It's like a co-op.
Yeah.
Co-op movie.
Our current valuation is $200 million. All right. Cool. Well, thanks for looking.
$200 million. That sounds great.
Seems about like 40 each. You guys can do whatever you want with your stocks, but you should sell them to me.
And at the end, we're gonna be like, "I'm sorry, Ryan. Your stock has been diluted to 0.003%.
Oh no.
Ryan will be like, "No. I'm going to see you in court."
Okay, speaking of movies, anything open this week that's interesting at all, or not really?
This week, I don't think so.
Because next week's Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Right. I know, and I'm really sad that Dave 2 won't be here. We're gonna spoil it for him. I'll be like, there's a guy who flies and turns tiny and sometimes turns big. And there's Hank Pym. But no, I don't think anything worthwhile is opening this weekend. So.
Okay. That looks like the two that are coming out. Oh, Uncle Drew!
I know, that's the one you would see because you're like, oh shit, it's old. It's a guy dressed up as an old guy, but he plays basketball.
I'll see that during the week. So I won't put that in, make anybody else see that. And then, the Sicario.
That actually kind of looks fun. I mean, Shaquille O'Neal's down there. Shaq Fu's back. Oh,
it's another Shazam.
Basically.
That's Kazam.
Have you seen the trailer for Sicario? It looked okay, like an action movie. It looked like an interesting action movie, but I don't know if that's like something I'm into watching right now, you know?
It's weird that they like made Sicario the first one, and the lead character was Emily Blunt. She's trying to track down this guy for the cartels and stuff like that. And then they made a sequel starring like two secondary characters. They're like, And then it would be, that'd be interesting if they did that with more movies. They're like, oh, here's a movie. And then they were like, oh, you remember those guys that were pretty entertaining? We're going to make a movie, their own movie. And then they make one more about secondary characters in this movie, and it keeps going like it just kind of just keeps going off tangentially.
Sometimes those are the best characters, so you're like, we talked about that, how sometimes movies have the side characters are better, and you'd rather watch a movie about them.
Adam. Yeah, absolutely.
Absolutely.
Okay.
Preacher is back.
I haven't watched any. Nope.
Okay.
I haven't watched it yet.
I did watch.
God damn it, Dave.
I did watch. What's his name on? Seth Rogen on. One of the guys. Anyways, it was funny. He's like, they're like, explain this show to me. He's like, okay, so there's kind of like this force that can compel. It's kind of like a demon, devil offspring to compel people to do. And last season was great because we had like the mental retarded inbred Jesus that went around and stuff. And he was just like, okay, because you can't really explain that show very well.
No, you can't because
and not make it sound like that.
Right. It's like they threw a bunch of they're like, let's come up with the weirdest concept all and like put it all together into one thing. Oh yeah, and there's angels and stuff, and
demons.
he can keep dying and keep resurrecting and stuff like that. So he gets a job in Las Vegas, being a magician who kills himself for entertainment. but then he resurrects, and it's pretty great. And then there's hell and.
Oh, Adolf Hitler's that's what he did say. He's like, Hitler's kind of a big guy in our show, a big character on the show. I'm not kidding.
Right. Yeah, Hitler's in hell and it's stuff. It's pretty great. And
yeah, I'll probably get back into it. I outlined our TV show watching schedule for Amy. So basically, we're going to finish our Dexter show. Safe, I think it's called, because we're almost done. And I was like, when we're looking for a comedy, we're going to do the Kimmy Schmidt movie show or whatever. But when we're ready to start something, it's going to be Luke Cage. And when we're done with Luke Cage, we're going to Preacher.
Oh, yeah.
Did you give her, like, a timeline, too?
No.
Where it's like, if we start a show,
no.
And then, like, if you fall behind, like, a week, I can continue without you?
No, those are all A shows. A shows mean we only watch them together.
This is a fucking weird system.
No, those are shows that I would like to share with the person in my life I've chosen to be with. And if it's a show that I think that is a B show, it can. Some of these might move to B shows eventually. If she's like, you know, I'm not really feeling Preacher, I'd be like, all right, it's a B show. I watch that shit now.
Seems like a good system.
Otherwise, there's no time. You need time.
No time for love.
I don't think you're at risk to like not watch, like get too far behind, are you? Like that wasn't too aggressive.
Well, it depends. Like, if I go down a hole of wanting to watch a show, like,
right.
I'll watch the whole fucking season, 13 episodes in, like, 2 days.
Right.
Yeah, no, what I mean is that, like, it doesn't sound like you'll be, like, 4 days will pass and you'll be, you know, missing a show because you haven't had a chance to watch the show. Like,
I see what you're saying. Yeah, no.
Like, you'll be able to set yourself on most shows enough.
Right. Hopefully. There's nothing, like, I need to watch immediately. Yes. And if I do, that's a B show, and I watch that shit.
So you need to watch it immediately.
Yes. Sounds like the B shows are A shows for you. Well,
B shows are A shows, but the concept of a B category is the fact that I watch them alone. And sometimes Amy watches them, and we talk about them.
Gotcha.
Well, see, I would have changed the letters and been like, you have A shows, and Amy has A shows, and then you have T shows, which you watch together.
T shows, I like T.
Too complicated. She'd be like, we'll be talking about... See, this is... You're looking at it from an individual standard. I'm looking at it from a collective standard.
Right,
A shows are stuff we watch them together. Because they're
together
A.
Together starts with T.
But that's... Then you're saying... You're implying A is more important than T, but it's not.
No,
A is
no,
the most important category.
I'm saying T is the most important category with... I think they're equal... Actually, they're equally important.
Just because you think... Thomas and Adam are equal, it does not mean that they are. They have to engage in, apparently, World Chess Boxing Championship in order to figure out who's the best.
Let's do it.
I think that would be super fun.
I feel like it should be a triathlon somehow. So there's clearly boxing and ping pong, but we should just add a third thing because like the tri stuff is cooler.
I don't think Ryan can see this.
I think he just said the wrong word. It's chess, not ping pong.
Right.
No, no. Oh, no. I wanted ping pong involved.
But we're talking about world chess boxing.
Well, I want a competition that includes boxing and ping pong and chess. Oh, yeah, but I know this is actually a thing which is fucked up and hilarious that people actually do this. So they box and then they play chess and then they box.
No, they play chess first and then they play chess and then they box. And then they go back to chess.
So do you have to win both? Do you win just the boxing? Do you win just the chess?
I don't know.
Because I feel like you could just, like, stall with chess, you know, get just good enough to stall, and then just beat the shit out of people by being a really good boxer.
I think it's 8 rounds, and they alternate. So boxing, chess, 3 minutes each.
That's cool.
See, now if it was... boxing. Well, we need a game that you could play that you're both equally terrible at. Because then it would be like boxing, something terrible, ping pong, boxing, something terrible.
Yeah, I agree. That would make it... I like that.
What the fuck is this thing about cheese? God damn.
That shit is the bomb.
Oh, America's fuck you, Washington Post.
Yeah, American cheese stockpile is just an all-time high, baby.
Because nobody wants it?
No, the U.S. is amassed the largest stockpile of cheese in 100 years since regulators began keeping tabs. So there's been regulators keeping tabs on the cheese amounts for the last 100 years.
That's pretty funny.
So this we have a 1.39 billion pound stockpile.
That's a lot of cheese.
Does that mean, like, sharp cheddar is going to go down in price?
You'd think so.
Which is good, because I like sharp cheddar.
Is there, like, an OPEC for cheese so they could control prices?
I wouldn't
it's
be
a cheese stock exchange.
But this,
so fucking crazy.
This site here, this Washington Post article, which I cannot read, tells me that I'm old and that I'm a dinosaur dying off on websites because I demand the internet to be open and free and unfree of ads. So when I click on this and it tells me, we see that you're blocking ads. Would you like to read the rest of our article and unblock the ads? And I hit, fuck you. No, I will not read your article. But, like, our kids are going to be so socialized to accept that. It makes me sad.
I saw a video, a meme that was pretty funny. It was all like, it was at the store, and it was all like, oh, a lady was all like, so you try, have you tried almond milk? And they're like, oh, yeah, we like almond milk. You try coconut milk, yeah. It's like, I got this new thing you want to try. It's called beef milk. Imagine milk if it's squeezed through the nipples of a cow. People are, they're like, "Oh shit, that sounds delicious."
That's funny. Sounds gross though when you describe it as beef milk. I mean, I get it. Don't get me wrong, but it does sound gross.
We go through a lot of cashew milk in our house.
Yeah, you go through a lot of Band-Aids. Because you get beat up all the time for saying that you drink so much cashew milk. That's why Adam's actually taking up boxing. Because he's all like, when Oren gets to school, he's going to be like, my dad drinks cashew milk. And they're like, my dad can kick the shit out of you. Can kick the shit out of you. And Adam's like, come on. I take boxing.
Stop punching back. You're supposed to just stand there like a bag.
Right.
Pugilist.
He's like a gentleman gym in his 99 rounds of boxing.
Cashew milk does sound expensive and wussy. I'm just saying.
It's
not saying like it is. Not saying you're wrong. I believe in you, Adam. You're a wonderful person, but it sounds like some wussy ass shit.
You're a wonderful person. But.
Cool. Adam, rebuttal?
I hate you, Ryan.
That's
it's fair. Cool. I said Ryan gets the fucking brunt of it.
I did kind of like the Dave move where I said it louder, but I didn't really say it louder. I just said slightly different variations on the same thing.
Yeah. This is a pretty good picture. Carrying Portugal, carrying England, carrying Germany. That's an airplane. That's so sad.
Ryan didn't see that either because he came in late.
Really?
I
that's too bad. We'll see if it...
Oops. Cancel that.
Nope,
it yeah, you cancel that.
Let me copy. Did you paste it, Chris, or...?
No, I'm got shit to do, man.
I can't copy and paste. You know how hard that thing is?
I got shit to do, man. I'm in the middle of doing shit. Sorry.
There you go, Ryan. It's Ronaldo. Some other guy. And an airplane. They all carry their teams.
Yes.
Oh, I see. Carrying Germany. Oh, shit. Damn. That is a bitch select.
I don't follow hockey soccer too much, but I feel like after Germany lost and after Argentina was in danger of leaving, I heard the same thing from commentators. And it was this. They're just exposing that they're just not good teams. Here's the reason why they're not good teams. And they give reasons why they're not good teams. Did people say this before the tournament? Or are they just like coaching from the sideline now that they've lost? Germany was a favorite, and then all of a sudden I hear somebody going, they didn't pick any youth, they picked this the wrong team, they're doing the wrong coaching, this is the reason why they lost, and everybody knew they were going to lose. Like, wait a minute, they were like a favorite.
Yeah, I think probably a little bit of that hindsight, backseat, you know, analysis, if that makes sense.
Armchair quarterback.
Those things, but not exactly. But yeah, when people say after the fact, oh yeah, of course. But yeah, people thought Germany, they were ranked number one.
Armchair forward center?
Right.
What's our position in soccer?
I don't remember who was telling me, but it's like bringing a bunch of, I don't know, people who don't play D&D together. I'm using this analogy. Who don't play D&D together regularly and have them try to set up a party and play coherently.
Who are the commentators or the players?
The players. So, say Germany's pulling all their players from whatever leagues. They just didn't have enough practice time.
It's an all-star team, right? It's an all-star team instead of a cohesive team. And all-star teams have a hard time being cohesive teams because they are, by definition, a bunch of pieces from different places. So, yeah, I can see that. But all of them are doing this. Like, every country is this, so...
Some of them might have been better at it, or... Yeah,
maybe.
Or they have one all-star that they all follow.
Like Zidane.
like Ronaldo carrying Portugal? Spain? Yeah.
Yeah, I think there's probably something to that.
Yeah. Definitely. I mean, it's a chemistry thing. You know, some of the teams don't have the right chemistry. And there's also just playing together on a club team. You work together, you learn together, you learn a system. They don't have as much opportunity to do that because they have their full-time jobs.
Playing soccer.
Yeah, being a soccer player on a different team, yeah. But, and then the thing is, I guess sometimes it does work though. Sometimes there is chemistry, and when that happens, it's pretty cool. Like when you get this super team that actually plays super well and has natural chemistry. So that's part of the excitement too. Is how, in some ways, it's exciting that you're going to have a superstar team that may be defeatable, or a team that's not a bunch of superstars that happens to mesh better and surprises everybody.
Yeah,
right.
The year of the World Cup, I think they should get their country team together, and they should like practice every week. Once a week, we have practice. What's going on this week, guys? World Cup practice. So everybody gets together, even if they fly in all over different countries. They got to go back on Sunday, and they got to play. Yeah, I think this should happen. Ryan, make it work. Okay.
All right, I'll see what I can do.
No, but it's interesting what you're kind of describing as well is for the Little League World Series in baseball. Like we have a bunch of local teams at play. So like Huntsman, Alabama will be a team, and San Jose, California is a team, and they're against Japan or they're against China. So, and sometimes those Alabama teams or the North Dakota team or whatever, they do better even though they have less overall skill because they've played together. And it's the same thing, it's just a little in reverse, which is interesting.
Yeah, I put a link to the greatest fucking Neymar roll of all time.
He rolls forever.
He rolls like 11 times. We were like, he's such a troll, that guy. And I like people wearing, like, because of his hair, it's the blonde and super curly. People are, like, putting ramen noodles because it looks exactly like his hair, like, on top of their hair, and, like, putting tape around their head.
Now, okay, so I think many of those roles were superfluous, but he did get, like, he should roll at least four times. I mean,
sure,
he just did a bunch of extra ones.
Like, one, two, three, four.
Yeah, five. He legitimately got tripped. Right. So, but.
But there were a bunch of extra rolls. Maybe he's really good at making momentum disappear with his rolls. That's funny. All right, any other last minute things, or can we be done with this charade?
Oh, that is funny, actually.
Right.
I got nothing. I don't got shit.
You don't got nothing. I think that means you got everything, which is true, because you, my friend, have the world on a string. Adam, where can people reach us?
Thanks, Chris. When you're tired of watching the World Cup, you can check out the Geeks Next Door at Geeks Next Door at xyz.com. No, what is it? Oh, I fucked this one up. It's geeksnextdoor.xyz.
Yeah!
We also have a Patreon page at www.patreon.com/geeksnextdoor.
Look at this guy.
And go check us out on Facebook at geeksnextdoor on Facebook. And we got a mailbag, too, so send us some emails at geeksnextdoorftw, that's for the win, Chris, @gmail.com.
Holy shit, this guy's going to be a pro before long. You know it's going to be awesome. I can't wait. All right, we'll be back next week. Thanks for joining us. Everyone say goodbye. Bye.
Bye. Did you say thanks for vaginas?
That's what I heard. I think you might have meant vaginas. Thanks for vaginas, but you said thanks for vaginas.
I thank the gods for what I like, vaginas.
Thanks for vaginas.
Oh, all right, thanks everybody for vaginas.